Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the role of father in the developmental process. In this show, we will look at the popularity of yoga today and the possibilities which may arise or fall from the movement. Listen as we review the pros and cons of secular and spiritual approaches to this ancient discipline. Finally, we will discuss the beginning of summer 2017 with the sun going into the creating sign of Cancer. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and pray on prana. So Swami, I thought what I would do, like I do in most shows, is I'd give a little bit of history about Father's Day. And this information I take right from the WIN calendar website. And they say that Father's Day is the day to recognize, honor, and celebrate the sacrifices and accomplishment of fathers. In 1910, the Washington State Governor declared Father's Day on the 19th of July. Actually, there was a gal, Mrs. Sonora Smart Dodd, first came up with the idea for Father's Day after hearing a Mother's Day sermon in church. She was raised by her father and wanted to honor him. And then in 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson declared the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. And then in 1972, President Richard Nixon proclaimed that the third Sunday in June would remain Father's Day. So Swami, let's get down to it. So we said in the summary that we were going to discuss the role of father in the developmental process. Can you get us started?
Yeah, the whole thing of the masculine principle, the centrifugal force pushing outward. And our actual parent also is associated with an inner image that we come in with. And so the father provides an incentive for us to leave what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known. That we always talk about the separation myth, that in order for us to develop, we have to separate from what is familiar to us. We have to separate from the pattern that we come in with. And symbolically, we have to separate from mother. And so the father becomes the attractive outsider that now motivates us to leave what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known.
Well, I have the two quotes here that I'd like to go over with you. And the first one is actually by Pope John the 23rd. And it says, it is easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that we are somewhat removed from this developmental process that we always talk about here. And so as a result, we're surviving, we're chronologically aging and psychologically, spiritually remaining in an underdeveloped state. So our parents aren't really providing us with the environment that is, like I said earlier, conducive for growth. Because, and I really like the fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel, that it's actually the real mother kicks them out, and they find the witch. And the blind witch, of course, wants to cook them and eat them, but the boy found the chicken bone. And every time she measures to see if they're plump enough, that she keeps saying, too small, too small. And metaphorically, what that means is that the real mother kicks us out and doesn't provide us with everything that we need. And it's the witch that provides us with everything that we need, but it keeps us small psychologically and spiritually. And today, our misconception, we think mom and dad should provide us with everything that we want, has really led to a lot of really angry and furious kids out there that are starting to feel almost victimized, and we're still blaming mom and dad for the simple fact that we're dealing with symptoms of guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom. And these are all things that are associated with the simple fact that we're not separating from this pattern. We're not separating from the metaphorical mother. And we're not joining with a resource that is productive of growth.
I have another quote for you, and this one is by Friedrich Wilhelm Nietzsche. And this quote is, "When one has not had a good father, one must create one." So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, the thing about it is if your actual parent is a disappointment, then oftentimes what it really is going to mean that we're not really necessarily dealing with the actual person, but we're also working with an inner image. That the actual person becomes a hook that we hang this inner image that we come in with. And if we come in with a challenged inner image, the thing that you can learn is that using your imagination and through visualization, that you can change that image. And a lot of it oftentimes really means coming to terms with the actual parent. The one-size-fits-all solution to it oftentimes is recognizing that everybody out there is doing the very best they can with what they know. And so the solution is found in educating ourselves and just knowing that mom and dad isn't supposed to provide me with everything I need now may shed different light on your actual parent. And rather than blaming mom and dad, you can actually use that to your advantage as a catalyst for why you would separate from your family playpen and start to develop yourself independent of your parents. And then you change your relationship with your actual parents so that you're not drawing off of them. You're not involved in those control dramas that often happens with what I call family psychosis. But you have an adult relationship with your parent. And your exchange of energy isn't that you're drawing off, but you're giving back. That you can actually understand unconditional giving at this point. But it really requires us, as we keep saying, to join with truth and wholeness, to join with a resource of energy that metaphorically was associated with Father.
So you're saying that the role of the father isn't just to be the provider, you know, the monetarily speaking, or, you know, bringing home the, obviously, the finances to be able to, you know, support a home and feed the children and, you know, that type of thing. It's much more than that. It's the providing the education and giving them the wisdom so that they can be, so that children can become true adults.
Yeah. I mean, the father, on an ideal level, the father is provider, protector, procreator. And if you don't have that, but you're getting everything that you need, because if you're still alive, then somebody's providing for you. And that is an opportunity now to be able to capitalize on that situation so that you don't let your parents dictate what's going to happen to you. You really want to separate from that and then start to become independent. And using your own mind, using your own creativity, using your own imagination, start moving forward with your life using your creativity.
Now, should we be thinking about, like we just talked about Trinity Sunday last show, we talked about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the Father in this sense and what our relationship should be with the Father.
Yeah, I mean, in development, it's the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, the reunion with the Father. So the Father being more attuned with the concept of spirit, with the unified field. So once we join with that and we feel, as it said in the Apostles' Creed, we sit at the right hand of the Father. Now we're in tandem with something that not necessarily an actual parent or even an image of some cosmic puppeteer or any other authoritarian image that we may have, but it's actually the force right now that is supporting our lives. And if you have it, then you have the possibility of a relationship with it. Now, the education part of this is that we do not have attention for something invisible and intangible. And that was the work of our religions, or even, say, for example, we'll probably talk about this, is the work of disciplines like yoga. Now, of course, if what you're doing doesn't include this union with this other source of sustenance, then you might want to go back and look at it, because the benefits of having internal support really start to reveal themselves when we're looking at our relationship with our parents.
Yeah, because don't all relationships actually stem from your family relationship? So you can kind of figure out what are my relationships outside my family going to be like based on the ones that I already have.
Yeah, and that's where developing a primary relationship with your divinity gives you a new lease on life. Because you're now drawing from a different energy field, but you also have created endless possibilities for yourself. You're now using your creativity, your imagination. And it doesn't negate the relationship that we have with our actual family, but it can make it smaller. And it can make it way more manageable because you're not drawing off of it, you're giving back to it.
And I think that's an important point to make right there, is that we don't want to live our lives drawing off of these other type of negative energies, what you're talking about. We want to be able to make that right hand turn and draw off of something that's a bit more positive, something that can really sustain us, like you would say.
Yeah, it's way more reliable, it's more dependable. And You're able to color your life. You can actually now deal with your parents and you can focus on what they are good at, as opposed to maybe focusing on what you didn't get as a child.
Right. And I think there has to be a point somewhere where we have to stop blaming mom and dad for everything that's happening to us. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And when you assume responsibility for that and you have the benefit of internal support, then you've got tools that you can use to move forward with your life.
Right, right. Well, I think it's going to be about that time. We're going to take a break and we'll return with you shortly.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1. Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I think we should start talking about the International Yoga Day that's coming up. And again, I get this information from Wynn Calendar, and they describe International Yoga Day celebrates yoga, an ancient physical, mental, and spiritual practice. Today, yoga, which originated in India, is one of the world's most popular pastime activities. Now, in September 2014, India's Prime Minister proposed the establishment of an International Day of Yoga to promote international peace and cooperation. His request was granted by the United Nations General Assembly in December of 2014 in an effort to highlight the benefits of yoga to physical well-being and to the world peace and development. Now, on June 21, 2015, the first International Day of Yoga was celebrated worldwide, leading to a new Guinness record for the largest yoga lesson, consisting of nearly 36,000 participants in India's capital of New Delhi. So let's talk about International Day of Yoga, and what is it that you think we should all get out of it?
Well, I think group dynamic is really helpful. And the whole thing of like attracts like, that people that are practicing yoga are changing their vibration, they're changing their frequencies. And so I think it's a movement in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially I found that for myself, that being raised a Christian, I don't think I understood Christianity at all until I started studying Buddhism. And after studying the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, the 12 Interdependent Origins of Buddhism, I thought Christianity started to make more sense. But I don't think I understood Christianity or Buddhism until I started practicing yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what yoga did was it took everything from an academic intellectual level to an experiential level. That you can start to go from knowing to doing, which was a quantum leap for me. It's one thing to believe in some sort of supernatural power, it's another thing to feel connected to something that's pure, powerful, and sacred.
Well, I have a quote here from the Bhagavad Gita that maybe you can shed some light on this for us. And this quote is, "Yoga is the journey of the self, through the self, to the self." I'm wondering if maybe you can dissect that for us.
Yeah, well, it is that merging of your microcosmic orbit that to me is the small self. That is the part of us that we see ourselves as separate. And this process of joining with the capital self, which is the force right now that is supporting our lives. And when we make this union, And again, it's not just an academic, intellectual accomplishment, but it requires that we purify our bodies. We prepare it for the invocation of this invisible, intangible resource. And when we experience this union, matter and mind come together with new information. And as if you read the Bhagavad Gita, it changes our nature, that we go from either being of a low animal nature to an even lower or equally low human nature. Now we can rise to being of a divine nature. And the benefits that come with that, I think, are enormous. Mm-hmm. And that's where I always refer to that Chinese proverb, especially when people are talking about world peace. That the Chinese proverb, when there's light in the soul. So in the Kriya Yoga that we teach, that's what's called brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. That you've internalized this more reliable resource in your physical body. And so it changes who you are. Your identity aligns with a part of yourself that is eternal, that always was, always will be. So we get out of a lot of the unnecessary fears that a lot of us are being controlled by today. And your identity starts to transcend the limits of seeing yourself as separate. And of course, once you're field of awareness expands beyond seeing yourself as separate, then you really understand the Christian concept of love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm. Because you can see that the same soul that's animating me is animating you. And you also recognize that what you're putting out is what you're getting back. And you like yourself, which is a whole different dynamic than a lot of people who are involved in control dramas and competing for energy on these limited levels. But the other thing is that my experience with yoga is that your understanding of yoga is going to be limited to the understanding of your instructor. And what I would like to avoid is maybe what's happened to our religion. See, in my opinion, religion and yoga are the same thing. One means to relink, the other means yoke or union. They're talking about the underlying dynamic is joining an individual with a more reliable resource. And religions have failed in doing that. And my experiences too is a lot of people are doing yoga today without the yoga. And it's like religion without the religion isn't working. So you also have to lift your head and you have to look at, just because yoga is very popular doesn't necessarily mean that people are doing union of the individual with the divine. That you can actually be doing yoga and still drawing from particles and waves, still drawing from duality or fear and limitation. There are benefits that come with that, but they're not anywhere near the return that you get when you join with this indivisible unified field. And of course, that could change the world. When you can get 100 people growing psychologically and spiritually, and now people start to see this union of the individual with the divine as a viable human enterprise, you can change the world because people are transforming in the true sense of the word.
I know earlier we were going over our notes together before the show, and I was saying to you that Wynne Callender had described the word yoga as being derived from the Sanskrit language, and it means to join or unite, referring to the union of body and mind. So I think what you were saying before, there's a really big missing element there.
Yeah, it's the union of body and mind with spirit.
Which makes it completely different.
Well, it changes everything.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you just think mind and body, that's what they do in the yoga, some of the yoga asana classes. That's what I think what you were meaning earlier when you were saying that they're not doing true yoga. They're doing yoga postures without the yoga.
Right, without the union with this other resource. And mm-hmm. And the same dynamic happened with our religions. and we can see how that has failed us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting a different return. And but the thing is that you have the opportunity, if you have all of these people that are practicing something, that if they just had a little bit better leadership, the adjustment isn't that hard.
Mm.
Because you've got willingness, you've got people working with their bodies now. And a lot of people are working with nutrition,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to before. I mean, people would go to church and then have coffee and donuts. Now, I think we're a little bit more mindful of that. But to take it to the next octave, the whole thing that we talk about, this preying on prana, this rebirthing your body in the life force, that becomes another vertical leap, that we go from the mouth to the nose to the third eye.
Well, I think I would like to spend the next couple of minutes, and we're going to talk about the summer solstice. And if you could tell us, what is it going to mean on June 21st when the sun goes into the creating sign of Cancer?
Well, for one, it means that the precession of the equinox, you know, has met its zenith, that it is the longest day. And then from there, it's going to start that our days will start to get shorter again. But it's also the high point of light and everything that light represents. And of course, it's in Cancer, the start of a new season. It's the creating force. And it's a good time to start something. Take advantage of the sun going into cardinal signs.
What's really interesting is that the International Day of Yoga and summer solstice are going to fall on the same day. So I think people should maybe start a yoga program.
That would be a good idea. Give us a call if you're looking.
That's right.
Start taking some classes.
That's right. So I think interesting that the information I have is that the word solstice comes from the Latin words for sun and to stop. So I thought that was interesting. So I wonder, does that mean because after that day, the sun starts going back, right? So it starts actually going to start getting darker now.
Yeah, or when it goes into Capricorn, it goes the other way. That the nights were getting longer, and now they're going to start to get shorter.
So is there anything else we should prepare ourselves for summer solstice regarding the sign Cancer?
Well, it's a good time to nurture yourself and take care of yourself and protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That Cancer is associated, well, it's ruled by the moon, the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good time to put things into form. The whole feminine principle is how we give birth. So if you've got some ideas that you're trying to manifest and maybe bring to fruition, it's a good time.
Isn't that interesting? You're just talking about that, the mother, and then we're also talking about the father, so we can kind of marry the two together this week.
And that's Hatha Yoga, sun-moon union. So you've got Ida and Pingala, the masculine and the feminine principles, because they need each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one or the other, but it is really the balance and integration of them both.
Well, I think it's probably about that time we should start breaking down the show today. So listeners out there, I'd like to invite you to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can access all the learning tools that we have for you there. We do have the new 2-minute vacation and the 5-minute labyrinth video with the frequencies. It's very cool. So I encourage everybody to look at those. And then while you're there, make comments about this show or give us ideas about future shows you would like us to do. So in the meantime, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody out there happy Father's Day and a happy International Yoga Day and happy solstice. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.